Welcome back to Magnetic North, where just a hint of wood smoke flavors the air. Air so delicious that I don't so much breathe it as gulp it down. Icy, sweet. Winter air infused with maple or birch smoke is one of the joys of living here year-round, but much more than that. The scent of smoke in the chilly air signals that all is well. It says that somewhere near enough to sniff, to find, to share, there is warmth, even at minus 20, with a wind chill of 50 below. It's a survival thing, something that the poetry of Robert W. Service awakened decades ago in my 12-year-old soul. Service's Spell of the Yukon, published in 1907, a collection of his most popular ballads about the characters and critters caught up in the Canadian Gold Rush, came into my suburban Philadelphia home as a gift to my father. But I was its true beneficiary. I daydreamed my way through soul-sucking junior high subjects, conjuring up the lady known as Lou, and though I'd never heard even a dog howl, the melodic sound of the huskies gathered round in a ring carried me away from the torture chamber that was algebra, taught by Mr. Miller, who flunked his own daughter. My most beloved poem in that collection was The Cremation of Sam McGee, which begins this way. There are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The northern lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest they ever did see was that night on the marge of Lake LaBarge, I cremated Sam McGee. And it gets worse. You see, Sam, being from Tennessee, hated cold weather. He knew he was dying, and he asked his prospector partner to cremate his corpse. Of course, the fellow says, okay, a clear case of not thinking things through. So with no access to timber, the partner ends up lashing Sam's frozen body to the sled and carting it around for heaven knows how long until he finds an old barge on the shore of, Lake LaBarge. The barge furnace is big enough to stuff Sam in, and the rest is historic, macabre humor. And it goes like this. Then I made a hike, for I didn't like to hear him sizzle so. And the heavens scowled, and the huskies howled, and the wind began to blow. It was icy cold, but the hot sweat rolled down my cheeks, and I don't know why. And the greasy smoke in an inky cloak went streaking down the sky. I do not know how long in the snow I wrestled with grisly fear, but the stars came out, and they danced about ere again I ventured near. I was sick with dread, but I bravely said, I'll just take a peep inside. I guess he's cooked, and it's time I looked. Then the door I opened wide. And there sat Sam, looking cool and calm, in the heart of the furnace roar. And he wore a smile you could see a mile. And he said, please close that door. It's fine in here, but I greatly fear you'll let in the cold and storm. Since I left Plumtree down in Tennessee, it's the first time I've been warm. I recited this whole thing for my junior high school talent show, and I think doing that instead of belting out Honey Bun from South Pacific changed my life. The boys in my class no longer ignored me. They practically ran the other way when they saw me in the hallway. Except for Michael Landis. He invited me to come over to his house and cremate his brother's hamster. No one seemed to get it, the whole fire and ice thing. How you could love both, especially together, with wolves nipping at your heels and mountains of gold beyond every horizon. But I saw myself in that vision and kept it alive for the next 30 years when finally I moved to the north shore of Lake Superior, where wolves, sub-zero winters, and according to recent mineral exploration reports, possibly even precious metals, abound. And as for playing with fire, I have a wood-burning furnace, a Franklin stove, two fireplaces, more oil lamps than anyone needs, and, most sacred of all, a 10-by-12-foot woodshed. I can spend an entire day gathering, kindling, or chopping wood, and nobody thinks a thing of it, In fact, since I don't fell my own trees, I'm probably considered a bit of a wuss around here. All the good trees on my 80 acres was logged long ago. Just aspen and new growth evergreen grow there now. So, surrounded by woods, I need to bring in food for my furnace. And starting just about now, before this winter's woodpile is half burnt, I start scoping out next winter's stash. Will I need a full logger's cord again? Should I try for more maple? It burns so much longer than birch. And should I order right away? Last season I nearly ran out, and so forth. When I decide, I go through the list of wood sellers and order a full cord. That's 128 cubic feet for delivery in June. I hire a neighbor's son to stack the wood, then eagerly wait for the warm weather to go away so I can burn my first 10 sticks. That's how many split logs I can fit onto my old blue plastic kitty sled. This winter, thanks to lack of snow, pulling that load from the woodshed to the lower level back door has been a hassle. But it's so worth it when I hear the satisfying crash as the avalanche of logs barrel down the four steps to the back door and nearly blast it open. Inside again, I collect and place the logs with purpose, almost ritualistically. I line them up on the red tiles of the furnace room floor in order of immolation. The laying of the fire requires discipline and focus. Thus, it is my least favorite part of the whole shebang. I must twist at least 10 pages of newsprint and select no less than 6 slabs of birch bark on which I'll lay 4 to 6 lengths of kindling. This is a fingernails on the blackboard task as it involves soot, knotty logs that won't split, axes and maul heads that fly off their handles, and barked shins, plus the occasional rudely awakened and spiteful wolf spider. But it's worth it when I lay the perfect fire, one that burns true and fast, devouring small logs and big logs like pretzel sticks, burning them down to red-gold embers pulsating with life. Taking this in as I perch on an old milking stool, the furnace door wide open, I'll sometimes scan the corners of the firebox for the outline of my old buddy, Sam McGee. His memory and form reanimated by fire begs, as it always does in that dreadful Tennessee drawl, to not let in the cold and storm. And wearing a smile you could see a mile, he'd say, "Please close that door." And reluctantly, oh so reluctantly, of course, I always do. This is Vicki Biggs Anderson for WTIP with Magnetic North.